It's your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC for 20 great years has the best OTR on our live streaming. And continue tuning in to the Radio Book Channel, along with the RTC Music Channel, all at oldtimeradiolisten.com.
Hello and welcome to the RTC Weekly Download. Well, today we have comedy in store for you, and they're both shows are from 1944. We'll start off with a Jack Benny show, and in about a half an hour, we'll be listening to the Burns and Allen show. But here's Jack Benny.
For all you men and women in the armed forces of the United Nations, a rebroadcast of The Jack Benny Show with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester, Jack Benny's special guest singer, and Don Wilson.
Broadcasting from the Puget Sound Navy Yard near Seattle, Washington. And I know all you boys here are anxiously waiting to be entertained. So while you're waiting, we bring you Jack Benny.
Thank you. Hello again. This is Jack Benny talking. And Don, we have a pretty full script this week, so we won't linger on that introduction of yours. And anyway, after that wonderful boat trip we had from Vancouver, I'm in no mood to be mad.
Well, thanks, Jack.
And by the way, Don, we've been off the boat 3 days. You can take off that life preserver, you know? Go ahead.
Life preserver?
Yes.
I'm not wearing one.
Jack,
I wish you'd stop saying things like that. You're always giving people the impression I'm fat.
Oh, no, Don, you're not fat at all. Just that you have a little bulge around the bills. Anyway, Don, we're not here to... Oh, hello, Mary.
Hello, Jack. Hi, fellas. Say, Jack, what were you and Don talking about?
The boat trip. How'd you like it, Mary?
Well, I thought it was a little rough.
Rough?
Certainly. Every place I went on the boat, I'd find some sailor's arm around me.
Well, what was wrong with that?
I was with a soldier at the time.
Well, that I can't understand at all.
Oh, me either.
Well, it's very simple, fellas. When I walked around the boat, Don, the trip is over. Take off that life preserver.
Mary, I made the... Mary, I made the... I'm laughing at my own jokes here. You think I was... Sound like Fred Allen a little bit, don't I? No, Mary, I made the same mistake. You see, that's the one nature gave Don, a built-in revolving turret. You know? Or, as the boys here affectionately call it, a battleship blister. You know? And incidentally, this is the last time I ever take the cast on a boat. Phil Harris told me that the trip upset him.
Well, you know how Phil is. He just doesn't like the ocean.
Yeah, it hurts Phil to see all that chaser with nothing to break trail for. And Frankie, his guitar player, did you ever see anyone drink so much beer?
Why, Jack, Frankie doesn't drink beer.
He doesn't, eh? All I know is every time he looked over the side of the boat and saw a white cap, he tried to blow the foam off of it.
Jack, as long as this is a time for criticizing people, let's get to you.
Amia?
Yes, sir.
Oh.
That night on the boat when the whole gang sat down to dinner, it wouldn't have hurt you to pick up the check.
I was going to, but it just happened that the check was closer to Phil.
Not until you blew it there.
Mary, I was blowing my soup.
Out of the side of your mouth?
I always blow like that.
Well, you... Well, you've certainly got a good aim. Yesterday, you blew the check to Phil. The day before, you blew it to Don. And the day before...
Oh, stop, will you?
Say, Jack.
What?
How long did it take you to learn to blow a curve?
Well, it isn't easy. First, I had to have two wisdom teeth removed. And then I had... I'll take it. Hello? Hollywood calling? No, operator. He's not on the stage at the moment, but I'll get him. Phil? Hey, Phil?
Coming, Jackson. Okay, sailors, the intermission is over. Harris is here.
Phil, never mind the corny entrance. There's a long-distance call for you from Hollywood.
Oh, a long-distance call. Gee, I've been expecting this call. Hello? Yeah, well, put him on. Put him on. Hiya, pal. Yeah, what is it? No kidding. Well, how about that? Gee, that's terrific. Oh, boy, wait till the gang hears about this. So long.
Phil, what is it?
Yeah, what happened?
Flat Top got away.
Well, of all the... Phil, I thought you were going to tell us about your new baby.
What new baby?
Your new baby, the one that was born Wednesday morning. I read about it in the paper.
Well, how do you like that? Them newspaper guys scooped me again.
Phil, you mean to tell me you didn't know about your baby?
No, and gee, Jackson, am I glad you read about it. Hey, Wilson, hand me that phone.
Sure, anything to help you out, Papa. Can I get the number for you?
Phil, who are you going to call?
Alice. I want to tell her the good news.
Phil, she knows. She knows.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm so excited, I don't know what I'm doing.
Well, I don't blame you for being excited. Congratulations.
Yes, Phil, congratulations.
That goes for me, too, Phil.
Well, thanks, fellas. Oh, say, Jackson, you didn't tell me what my new baby is. Is it a boy or a girl or a... Hey, that's all there is, ain't it?
Yes, you figure that out nicely all by yourself,
Phil. Thanks, Jackson.
Phil, your new baby is a girl.
Gee, another girl. I'm a regular Papa Dione.
Phil, he had 5 girls. You've only got 2.
Okay, so I'm a Papa Dione JG.
Yeah, JG. But no kidding, Phil. You were only ribbing us. You knew about your baby all the time.
Why, of course, Jackson. What do you think I am, a dope?
Well, we won't go into that. Just play a band number and keep the show moving,
okay,
will you?
Okay.
Get By, played by Phil Harris and his Makes You Want to Ask for Sea Duty Orchestra. And now, fellas, for our feature attraction tonight, Mary, will you please stop flirting with that sailor?
I'm not flirting with any sailor.
Now, Mary, don't deny it. With my very own eyes, I saw you winking at a sailor.
I was not. I was winking at all of them and hoped that one would wink back.
Well, don't be so forward. Besides, if it's a boyfriend you want, I'm still available.
Yeah.
Mary, what are you laughing at?
I want one that'll last
for the duration.
I
know. Anything for a laugh, eh, Mary? Well, don't worry about me. Anybody who can go through 3 straight hours at the beach cafe isn't made of straw, you know.
The beach cafe?
Yeah, that beach cafe is quite a place here. I was even in the back room where they do tattooing.
Tattooing?
Yeah, they tattoo back there. Look, Jack, and I'll pull up my sleeve. See? I had a wristwatch tattooed on me.
Let's see that. Say, that's the first time I ever saw a wristwatch tattooed on anybody. It looks good, too.
Yeah, but the guy gypped me. It don't run.
Oh, fine. He wants it to run yet.
And the strap is loose, too.
Oh, for heaven's sake. Now I've heard everything. Phil, as long as you got tattooed, why didn't you get something sensible? Come in. Hello?
Hello, Mr. Benny. Remember me? I'm Ruby Wagner, Mary Livingston's girlfriend.
Oh, yes.
Ruby, what are you doing in Bremerton?
I followed you here from Vancouver.
You did?
But well, Mary,
Ruby,
this what happened when you left
like
Vancouver
when I said goodbye to you? I said goodbye to you. 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 I said goodbye to you.
Wait a minute. Girls, for heaven's sake, stop chipping your teeth. Take it easy, will you?
Okay. Ruby, did I hear you say you didn't like the boat ride from Vancouver?
No, the boat was filled with sailors. Gee, was I upset.
Why, did they bother you?
No.
Now, look, girls, we've got a program to do.
Ruby, you remember Jack Benny. I introduced you to him last week.
Oh, sure.
I'm happy to see you again.
Any friend of Mary's is a friend of mine.
Yes, I know.
Ruby, I think you ought to go back to Vancouver. Your family will be worried.
Oh, no, Mary. I'm going with you right to Hollywood. When I found out that you were a great radio actress, I decided to become an actress, too.
But, Ruby, radio is a hard job. It took me a long time to...
Oh, Mary, stop worrying. I'm going into pictures. You're safe.
Oh, fine. Now we got a picture star with us. Another Katharine Hepburn.
Oh. The color lilies on bloom again. Really, they are. Those big, beautiful color lilies on bloom
Ruby.
Again.
Ruby.
Really, you haven't seen.
Ruby.
Really, you haven't seen beautiful color lilies until you see my color lilies.
Ruby,
come show
look,
the
Ruby.
Cards with me and see my color lilies. They're such lovely color lilies.
Miss really Hepburn.
Yes.
Now, listen, Ruby, we've got a program to do.
Sit down, Ruby, and I'll see you right after the show.
Yeah, because right now I've got an important announcement to make. Ladies and gentlemen...
Say hello to my mother.
Not now. Ladies and gentlemen. Tonight, we have a special guest on our program. As you know, last Sunday was Dennis Day's final appearance on our show before entering the Navy. So tonight, our guest is a popular young singer... who in a very short time has made a great name for himself. And here he is, 20th Century Fox's new singing star, Dick Haynes.
Thanks, everybody. Thank you.
Dick, it was awfully nice of you to come up here all the way from Los Angeles and help us out on our broadcast.
Well, I'm very glad to do it, Jack, for you and for Dennis Day. You know, Dennis and I are pretty good friends.
Well, that's swell. I'm glad to hear it. By the way, Dick, I want you to meet our gang. This is Don Wilson.
Hello, Dick.
Hello, Don. Say, Jack, who's the guy behind him?
That's still Don Wilson. And this is my orchestra leader, Phil Harris.
Hello, Phil.
Hiya, Richard. What are you going to give out when you make with them tonsils?
What?
Well, the kid's going to loosen his lungs and lay it right on the line.
Phil, what are you talking about?
Oh, Jack, he's just beating his gums with some hep jive about my hot pipes.
Oh, I get it. I was a little slow for a minute. Well, Dick, now that you've met everybody, how about singing your...
Don't mind me, Jack. I'll go out and sit with the sailors.
Oh. I'm sorry, Mary. Dick, this is Mary Livingston.
Hello, Mary. I always listen to you on the radio. Gosh, how can a girl who's so pretty say things that are so funny?
Oh, Dick, I'll bet you say that to all of us pretty girls.
Mary, don't be facetious. Go ahead, Dick. Bump your gums, kid. Bump your gums.
I love
echo the hills. I love you, the golden dawn agrees, as once more she sees daffodils. Start to sing again the old melody. I love you. That's the song of songs.
By Dick Hames, and that was really swell.
Thanks, Jack.
By the way, Dick, we're going to finish out this season with guest singers. And next Sunday, we're flying up to Whidbey Island to broadcast at the Naval Air Station. I wish you could be with us.
Well, I'd like to stay, Jack, if you can get me a better place to sleep.
But, Dick, Seattle is so congested, you should be satisfied with the place you've got.
I know, but that Bremerton ferry is so crowded.
Oh, yes. Yes, I can appreciate how noisy it is.
Well, it wouldn't be if you didn't snore so loud.
Well, isn't my fault. The boat keeps rolling me over on my back, you know. Anyway, Dick, I'm glad that you'll be with us next Sunday.
So am I.
Huh? Oh, Dick, this is Ruby Wagner from Vancouver.
Well, I'm pleased to meet you, Miss Wagner.
Any friend of Mr. Denny's is a friend of mine.
Yes, yes, we're all friends.
You know, Mr. Haynes, I think you have a beautiful voice.
Ruby.
When you sing, I could just die, and believe me, it ain't easy to kill me.
Ruby, look,
I used to listen to you all the time when
now,
I was...
Now, Ruby, stop. Now, sit down.
Oh, go button your cuffs and square your hat.
Don't mind her, Dick. She's a friend of Mary's from Vancouver.
And any friend of Mary's is a friend...
Sit down!
Say, Jack. Say, Jack, I have friends in Vancouver, too. Did you have a nice week up there?
Oh, it was wonderful. Grand.
Well, how'd you like that boat trip coming back?
From Vancouver? Oh, it was terrific. It was great for an old sailor like me. Now, kid, I love the sea. I was up on that top deck for 8 hours watching...
Now,
the...
wait a minute, Jack. Why don't you tell him the truth?
What do you mean?
You know what I mean. Listen, Dick, this'll tell you. We were in Vancouver. It was a half hour before boat time. And Jack was in his hotel room getting ready to leave.
Oh, Rochester. Rochester.
Yes, boss.
Yeah. Rochester, we got to hurry and get out of this hotel. The boat leaves in half an hour.
I know.
And you should have finished packing long ago.
But, boss, I had to go up on the roof and take your shirts off the line.
Oh, yes, yes.
You know, Mr. Benny, it's a good thing we're checking out of here. The hotel laundry is sure mad at you.
Oh, they are, eh? Well, I've got a right to do my laundry if I want to.
Yours, yeah, but not everybody.
Don't be silly. I didn't do everybody's laundry. I just happened to help out a few friends.
Friends? They didn't even know who you were until I slipped those cards under their doors.
What card?
The ones that said, wet wash, rough dry, flat work, and violin recitals while waiting.
Oh, that. I just did that for a gag. Anyway, Rochester, let's, come in.
Did you call for a bellboy?
Yes. I don't have much time to make the boat, so will you please rush these things down to the lobby?
These?
Yes.
Hmm.
What's the matter?
Well, some people in checking out of this hotel have taken little bars of soap as souvenirs. Others have had the nerve to take some towels. But Mr. Benny, a mattress!
What? Are you accusing me of taking a mattress?
That's what he said. That's what the man said. He said that.
Rochester, stop helping him. Now, why in the world would I take a mattress?
To go with that bed we got from the last hotel.
Rochester, he took a bed?
To go with the bathtub we got from the...
Rochester! Now, stop making up those ridiculous things. Now, listen, boy, I had nothing to do with this mattress. It was rolled up by the maid.
Oh, it was, eh?
Yes.
Well, unroll it and take the maid out.
Can I help it if she's clumsy? Now, grab these bags. I don't want to miss the boat.
Say, Don, is it nice up here on the top deck?
Oh, it's wonderful, Mary. And the water's so calm and clear.
Yeah, Donzie, there's nothing like a boat trip. Ain't that right, Jackson?
Rochester, give me another one of those mother still seasick pills.
Another one, boss?
Yes.
If this is going to be a long trip, mother better speed up production.
Rochester, please stop joking and give me a pill.
Hey, Jackson, why don't you just take it easy and relax?
Relax? Right now he looks like a glass of milk with no glass around it.
Fellas, cut it out, will you? Gee, I'm glad somebody feels worse than I do.
That's a boat whistle.
Oh, yes. Rochester. Rochester, how long before the boat docks at Seattle?
12 hours.
12 hours? Why so long?
We haven't even left Vancouver yet.
Oh, another pill, Rochester. Another pill.
The Jack Benny Show is rebroadcast especially for you soldiers, sailors, marines, and coast guardsmen of the United Nations. Now we turn the remainder of the program over to the Benny Bandmaster, Phil Harris. Music, Phil. Thank you.
This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.
And that was a Jack Benny show with guest Dick Hames from 1944. As you could hear, there were no commercials in the program. That's because it was for Armed Forces Radio, and that meant that they had to take all the advertising out, which resulted in a program approximately 22 to 25 minutes long. So they put in music fillers. That's why we had the little impromptu concert by Phil Harris at the end of the show. Well, 1944 also produced our next program, and from the Armed Forces Radio Network, here is the Burns and Allen program, and the show's titled Gracie Hires a Drama Coach.
Well, hello. Come right in. Oh, George, we've got company, and they're all in uniform.
This is Bill Goodwin, inviting all you servicemen and women to enjoy another pleasant visit with George Burns and Gracie Allen, our tenor Jimmy Cash, and Felix Mills and his orchestra. And now, meet the people who live in the Burns house, George and Gracie.
Oh, I'll get it, dear. You finish your breakfast.
Good morning, Mrs. Burns.
Oh! Good morning, Mr. Postman. Why, Mr. Postman, you look rather worn out.
I have what is commonly called mailman bends. Or civil service crouch.
Oh, you poor man.
Oh, don't feel sorry for me. My wife and I know just how to cure it.
You do?
Yes. You see, my spine is really like a steel band. So my wife just puts her knee in the small of my back, and I straighten up with a terrific ping.
Oh, goodness. That's quite a trick.
Yes. Well, here's a special delivery letter for you.
Oh, thank you. Oh, it's from our sponsor. Listen to this news, Mr. Postman. From now on, our radio program will be on the air Monday night.
Is that good?
Why, Monday is the night they do high-class drama, like Cecil B. DeMille's Radio Theater and Screen Guild. Say, maybe we'll be doing a dramatic show, too.
If you do, remember me. I was quite a thespian in my school days. I was the Vitamin Flint Heart of John Burroughs Junior High.
Really?
Yes. Would you like a piece of Cyrano de Bergerac?
Oh, no, thank you. I never eat pastry in the morning.
No, I mean the play. Listen to this. Oh, Roxanne, with love I tremble. I love you. I am smothered. I am mad. I love you. I am faint. It is too much. Oh.
Oh, Mr. Postman, what pain, what suffering.
Yes, my back is killing me. Well, good day unto thee. And remember, retain a pleasant aspect.
What is it, dear?
A letter from our sponsor. Starting next week, our radio program will be on Monday night.
Oh, I knew they were going to change it. So it's Monday night, huh?
Uh-huh. You know that's the night Cecil B. DeMille has his radio theater. So I think we ought to do drama, too.
Drama?
Oh, sure. I'll bet Mr. DeMille will be plenty worried when he hears us.
Yeah, he'll tear out hair by the handful.
Yeah, and I pity the person he tears it from.
Well, okay, don't worry. We're not going to do dramatics.
Oh, but George, think of the great stories we can do. The story of Mrs. Parkington, the story of Mrs. Miniver, the story of Maggie Ettinger.
Maggie Ettinger?
Yeah, that's my beauty operator, and does she know some stories?
Gracie, you may as well drop this thing right now. I'm not a dramatic actor, and I'm not going in for drama.
But, darling, you have a great talent for acting. Oh, come on. Let me hear you recite something from Shakespeare.
Oh, go.
Oh, please, George, let me hear you do To Be or Not to Be. That is the question.
I don't know it.
Well, I'll help you. Now, come on. To be or not to be, that is the... Well?
Question?
Oh, you're wonderful. George, that's grand. Shakespeare must have had you in mind when he wrote Hamlet.
Yes. I guess so.
Oh, well, come in.
Well, hiya, Burnses. What's a good word?
Hello, Bill.
Oh, have you heard the news, Bill? Our program is moving to Monday night.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. And George and I are having an argument. I think that we ought to do serious stuff. The kind of thing that makes people cry. But George wants to tell jokes. Please give us your serious opinion. Do you think we should do drama?
Well, yes, Gracie, I do. Frankly, I think you're very good. And the man with you is only great.
Oh, Bill.
I mean it, George. I've never heard a finer, richer, more resonant voice.
Well, thank you, Bill.
So, Gracie, when you've picked out the play for next Monday, just call me and I'll be ready. So long.
Well, you see, George, everyone thinks we should do drama.
Sure. Just so they can do their stuff. Well, forget it. It's not for me.
Oh, George, don't say that. True, you're a great comedian. Great as Jack Benny. But you're also a fine actor like Charles Laughton.
Oh, Gracie.
Well, you're a combination Charles Laughton and Jack Benny. It just so happens that your Laughton sticks out more than your Benny.
Forget it.
Well, folks, I brought you some more hot coffee.
Oh, Mrs. Regan, you haven't heard the news.
No?
Starting next week, Mr. Burns and I are changing our radio program to Monday night.
Are you now?
Uh-huh.
Then Monday's going to be a busy day around here. We'll have to change our washing schedule.
Well, yes, we will.
What day would you like to do it, Mr. Burns?
Never mind.
You see, Mrs. Regan, I'd like to do a dramatic program, but I can't seem to convince my husband.
Dramatic program is a fine idea. And I think you should do something like that excellent Irish play, The Informer.
Never mind, Mrs. Regan. Just pour me some coffee.
Coffee is a Joe Wanton. No, Danny, me boy. The jig is up, and there'll be no feeding of informers in this house. Fie on you, and the black name you brought on the honor of Ireland. Keep the snivelling little wretch covered with that gun, me girl, while I go out and call for help. Help! Help! Help!
You see what you got me into?
Don't move, Danny, me boy. I've got you covered.
Oh, no.
Jimmy Cash, our young tenor, sings for you A Little on the Lonely Side. Jim?
I'm a little on the lonely, a little on the lonely side. I keep thinking of you only and wishing you were by my side. You know, my dear, when you're not here, there's no one to romance with. So if I'm seen with someone else, it's just someone to dance with. Every letter that you send me, I read a dozen times or more. Any wonder that I love you more and more? Oh, how I miss your tender
that our radio program is moving to Monday night, George has simply got to do drama. He'd only be great, you know.
You really think so?
Oh, yes. He's an actor from the top of his head to the tip of his toes.
Maybe. But it's that stuff in between you got to worry about.
Well, anyway, I've sent for a dramatic coach to come over and teach George a few things.
Like what?
Well, now, for example, Lionel Barrymore has great facial expressions.
Yeah?
She'll give him that. Herbert Marshall has great diction. She'll give him that. Van Johnson has great... No, she couldn't give him that. Oh, excuse me, Mrs. Regan. There she is.
Mrs. Burns?
Yes?
I am Elizabeth Stevens, the dramatic tutor.
Oh, well, come right in. My husband will be here in a few minutes. He's the one I want you to toot.
Oh, I see. Meanwhile, perhaps you'd like a sample of my ability.
Yeah, well, all right.
Now, here's my impression of a famous personality you're sure to recognize. Hello, Mother. Hello, Father. The color lilies are in bloom again. Such a lovely flower, suitable for any occasion, really, it is.
Oh, that was wonderful. It sounded just like her.
Thank you. And next, I shall recreate a very popular Academy Award winner. Mr. Skeffington, I hate you. I hate you for what you did to my brother. You beast. I never loved you, Mr. Skeffington. I married you for your money. You fool.
Oh, that was wonderful. Simply wonderful. Who was it?
That was Miss Davis.
Oh, yeah. Oh, of course. But I didn't know Joan was in that picture.
Quiet. Suppose we talk about your husband.
Oh, all right. I'm sure you'll have him ready for Shakespeare in no time.
Of course, diction isn't everything. In order to play such roles as Hamlet, a man needs a handsome physique. How would your husband look in type?
Oh, he'd be a dream in type. He has simply gorgeous legs.
Really?
Oh, yes. Well, his legs are so beautiful, they're actually jealous of one another.
Jealous?
Yes. His knees won't come near each other. As Bill Goodwin once put it, his knobs are snobs.
Well, I can hardly wait to see your husband in type. However, first I shall concentrate on his speaking voice. I must teach him to project pear-shaped tones from his stomach.
Oh, well, that'll be easy. He has a pear-shaped stomach.
Hello, dear. Oh, you've got company.
Oh, yes. I'd like you to meet Elizabeth Stevens.
How do?
How do? Please, not how do. You should say how do you do. Do. Nice and round. Project. Ooh.
Well, thanks for the tip, although I didn't ask for it.
No. You didn't ask for it. Ask.
You're darn right I didn't. And what's more, where do you come off?
George, come in the den a minute.
Okay. Didn't ask. Ooh. What's the idea of that dame picking on the way I talk? Say, has she got something to do with that dramatic idea of yours?
Why, no, George.
Who is she?
Why, she's our new laundress.
Laundress? Gee, and I almost insulted her. She certainly sounds high class.
Oh, she is. You see, the average laundress just does the clothes rough dry, but this woman went to a finishing school.
I see.
Graduated with honors. Magna cum laundry.
Okay, I'll put up with anything for a laundress.
Well, I thought that would work. I mean, I knew you'd cooperate.
Burns!
Oh, excuse me, dear. Mrs. Regan is calling. Now, remember, humor the laundress.
Don't worry. Gosh, a laundress of our own at last. Now I can get my long underwear washed without waiting until summer to get them back. I'll take the underwear in and ask her. Miss Stevens, my wife just told me all about you.
Oh, splendid. I'm sure our association will be a happy one.
Yeah, me too. I brought these out to show you.
So? Oh, yes. Your wife said you look quite handsome in them.
She did? Matter of fact, I do look a little like Errol Flynn in them.
Aren't they a little baggy?
Yeah, but they'll be better after they're washed. How about giving them a try?
Very well. Put them on.
Put them on?
Well, certainly. I can't do anything until you've put them on. I use the Stanislavski method, you know.
Oh, I guess I'm more used to the Chinese hand method.
There are many schools, but I'm sure mine will prove satisfactory. Now put them on and I'll start to work on you.
Will it take long to do the job?
Perhaps weeks.
Weeks.
Well, you seem surprised. I spent months on Gary Cooper.
Well, his are much longer than mine.
I beg your pardon.
Oh, I'm not trying to tell you how to run your business, but what do I do while you're working on me? Just stand there?
Of course not. You walk up and down and say, "How now, brown cow, browsing in the green grass."
Miss Stevens, isn't there an easier way?
Oh, don't despair. When I'm finished, everyone in Hollywood will want to see you.
Well, I wouldn't let them.
Let's not be modest.
Well, look, how soon can I get back into my regular clothes?
Well, not until we've found, ironed out all the rough spots.
Now, wait a minute.
Please don't argue. Put them on now.
Okay. How now, brown cow, gazing in the green grass? This is disturbing.
Time for Felix Mills and his orchestra with "We Hear the Very Thought of You."
The very thought of you, and I forget to do the little ordinary things that everyone ought to do. I'm living in a kind of daydream. I'm happy as a king, and foolish though it may seem, to me that's everything. The mere idea of you, the longing here for you, you never know how slow the moments go till I'm near to you. I see your face in every flower, your eyes and stars above. It's just the thought of you, the very thought of you, my love.
Burns getting along with a dramatic teacher.
Shh. I didn't dare tell him she was a dramatic teacher. Oh. He thinks she's a laundress. That way she can still correct his speech and everything without him getting wise.
Mrs. Burns, you've always managed to get around your husband.
Yes, but it's getting to be quite a trip.
Say, Gracie, I'd like to have you explain
something. George, what are you doing in your long underwear?
That's what I want to talk to you about. That new laundress insisted I put them on before she'd wash them.
Oh, I see.
I feel silly.
Well, you look very cute, doesn't he, Mrs. Reagan?
Just like a big white bunny rabbit.
He does not look like a bunny rabbit. Does he? Mrs. Reagan, stop laughing. George looks very handsome in his long underwear. Honest, he does. Well, he does. Now, stop it. He's very handsome.
All right. That's enough. Believe me, if we hadn't been trying for 2 years to get along us, I wouldn't stand for this. Oh, gosh, someone's at the door.
Oh, it's only Bill Goodwin. I saw him through the window. You see what he wants, George. Mrs. Reagan and I are busy in the kitchen. Come on, Mrs. Reagan.
Just like a big white bunny rabbit.
Come in, Bill.
Say, George, I was... What's the idea of the long underwear?
Got a laundress who's as nutty as a fruitcake. She insists on washing the underwear while I've got them on.
Holy smoke, no wonder you always look like you've been through the ringer.
Come on, I'll put on my robe and let's go in. Well, here I am. This is Bill Goodwin.
Oh, how do you do?
How do you do? Say, you're kind of cute to be doing this kind of work. But then I guess you could say the same about me, huh?
are you...
Well, I've done a few things of my own. Yes, just light things.
Oh, where did you do them? At the Pasadena Playhouse?
No, on the back porch.
Back porch? Oh, I would like very much to get you on a stage.
Really?
Yes.
I'd like very much to get you on a back porch.
Well, man, I am a dramatic teacher.
What?
Yes.
Then why did you want me to put on the long underwear?
I thought they were your tights.
Well, sister, if those are tights, his skin is awful loose.
Wait a minute. Did my wife hire you to sell me on drama?
Well, in a manner of speaking, that was the idea.
Well, you're wasting your time. Goodbye.
Very well. Is that your attitude? Going my way, Mr. Goodwin?
Well, I would be, miss, if you weren't so high class. I kind of like a hef chick.
Well, come on, tall, dark, and sudsy. Let's cut a rug.
Well, oil your hinges, Gate. I see you swinging. Goodbye, two shoes, you square from Delaware.
So long.
Jimmy Cash comes to the microphone now to sing the new Cole Porter ballad, I Love You. Jimmy?
I love you on the April breeze. I love you, echo the hills. I love you, the golden dawn agrees. As once more she sees daffodils, it's spring again, and birds on the wing again start to sing again the old melody. I love you, that's the song of songs. And it all belongs to you and me. It's spring again, and birds on the wing again start to sing again the old melody. I love you, that's the song of songs.
Gracie, come in here. When she makes up her mind to something, nothing in the
world... Did you call me Spencer? Oh, I mean George. I keep thinking of you as Spencer Tracy now that we're going dramatic next Monday night.
We're not going dramatic next Monday or any of the following Mondays.
No?
No, and another thing. I found out you lied to me about that laundress.
Oh, yes. Yes, I lied to you. But I won't do it again. I swear I won't. You were right. I was wrong. I've been a foolish, headstrong girl, but from now on I'll obey. I swear I will. Your slightest wish is my command. Don't hate me, George. Beat me, kill me, but don't stop loving me. Oh, don't stop loving me. Oh.
Gee, honey, you mean that?
No, but with acting like that, we're crazy not to go dramatic.
Oh, fine. Now, Gracie, for the last time, just because our program will be on the air Monday night, we don't have to make ourselves for Cecil B. DeMille's radio theater.
But, darling, you mustn't be afraid of it. Things will be the same. You'll still take your bows, your applause, my salary.
Nothing doing.
Oh, but, George, I want you to be famous. I want you to have stature and dignity. I don't like what people are saying.
What are they saying?
Oh, they're saying, look, there goes the husband of Gracie Allen, the comedian. I don't like that.
Don't?
No, I want them to say, look, there goes the husband of Gracie Allen, the actress.
There's no use talking, Gracie. I'm sticking to comedy, and I've got a great joke for next week. So I'll say to you, W.C. Fields fell down the steps last night with 2 quarts of liquor and didn't spill a drop. Then you say, how come? And I say, he had it in him. don't you get it? He had it in him.
Oh, George Burns, that's the worst thing I heard in my whole life. You wouldn't dare do that on the radio. You better change to drama.
Excuse me, Mrs. Burns. Mr. Goodwin wants to speak to you on the telephone.
Oh, thank you, Mrs. Regan. Now, don't go away, George. Hello? Yes? You what? You did? Oh, Bill, you're wonderful. Thank you. Goodbye. Oh, Mrs. Regan,
yes?
Guess who Bill got for our program next Monday? Charles Boyer.
Charles Boyer? Whoa!
You said it.
The French Barry Fitzgerald.
Yes! Oh, this is wonderful. Now I can do drama with Charles Boyer. Oh, I'm so glad George refused to go dramatic.
Gracie, I've been thinking this over. I've decided to give the drama a try.
You have?
Yes.
Oh, but George, I have a wonderful joke for you next week. You say W.C. Fields fell down the steps last night with 2 quarts of liquor and didn't spill a drop, and I say, how come? And you say he had it in him.
This is very confusing. I don't understand.
Is the Armed Forces Radio Service.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.